Welcome to the first ever Bay Vita podcast. In 2022, we hope to share our innovations, research, insights through interviews and reflections on all things wellness. As a modern wellness consultancy, we hope to explore the new frontiers of what wellness can be like when we harmonize our professional and our personal lives. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, listeners in the podcast verse, you are hearing the voice of Julian Ho.
Or maybe Nathan Ho.
Oh, maybe.
We sound the same.
Yeah.
But do we? Can you tell us apart, Morgan? Kind of, sort of.
No. He closes his eyes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Who is speaking now?
That is definitely Julian.
Oh, wrong. Wrong.
I tried.
Anyhow, we're going to be talking about all things wellness, mental health. This day and age in the world of Ontario / Canada / the world of pandemic hysteria, and seeing how we're working through it ourselves in our personal lives, and what kind of trends or tips, habits, behaviors we can tease out from our own lives, our own work, in our research and practice, so that we can help share this valuable information to whoever's listening. So maybe we can do a round table introduction on who we are and what we do.
Or why don't we say like the environment where we're at right now?
Oh, okay,
like to always
sure.
Talk about like exactly.
Yeah, where are we?
Have whoever listens, sort of like, if you're sitting here listening, like this is what the situation is okay. Like, you know, we're in
Nathan's doing a visualization.
This is
right
Nathan.
Now.
And we're in my new condo. We have a co-working space, a room probably, I don't know, 1,000 less or 600 square feet or less. We're sitting at a big conference table, but it's got, you know, pretty casual vibe. Julian and I are sitting beside each other. We got Morgan across from us. We got the big blue Yeti in the middle. We got a bottle of wine that we don't have a bottle opener right now, so we cannot open it. So it's like just teasing us and teasing us. It is, you know, 7 o'clock in the night, and we have not eaten yet. So we're kind of getting there in terms of hunger levels as well.
So you get a sober and hungry take on health and wellness.
You got it. Okay. I like how you took the time to frame it for people and set the context. Do you want to continue with what you're up to?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Oh.
Who are you?
I'm a human.
I am a human being. Isn't that like what most people like to say?
I'm a human?
Yeah. Or no? It's coming off of a pretty, I don't know, it's a really busy year for me, let's just say. I've got like a lot that was on my shoulders, still is, but a lot of change this year. I did uplift my wife and my life from Hong Kong, from 13 years living and working there to now in Toronto. So it's always got its ups and its downs. Any sort of big shift in your life, big milestone, new chapter. But we're settled in right now, which is great. So I've got some semblance of consistency. And the biggest consistency as well has been, you know, having both of you guys kind of here as well. And that, you know, even though we weren't, you know, together physically, we were always kind of doing some cool shit with, you know, wellness, with Bay Vita, and just talks with each other every now and then, and texts and all that stuff. So that semblance of consistency has always been with both of you here, and it's nice to actually be here physically doing this too.
Cool. What you said, Bay Vita. What's Bay Vita for those who don't know?
Bay Vita is a modern wellness consultancy business that the three of us are running and have run for the past now 3 years. Right, 2019, yeah. April kind of started. So you know, doing a lot of, we like, Julian likes to coin it as connection experiences, but we've moved beyond that and created, you know, awesome digital assessments. A lot of research-based studies have gone into creating that. And I think I like to coin it like, it's often how you learn, which is more important than what you learn. And we seem, as BayVita as a company, to do that really well. So without saying too much about that, about work talk, you know, that's kind of how I describe it. But maybe shoot it over to Morgan. Like, how would you, first of all, tell us more about yourself?
Who are you?
Oh, no. Well, I'm not a human. I pride myself on being very unhuman-like in nature. But beyond my humanity, I like to dabble in a lot of different things. So I'm a mental health innovator. I am a health innovation teacher and researcher, and newly a data scientist, which I'll tell you more about once I figure out exactly what that title is, because I don't think anyone in the industry actually knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're still piecing it together day by day. Like, I'll be in the classroom learning one thing and then get a memo next week that the package crashed down and they're fixing it and we have to, like, switch. The industry is moving so fast because it's so nascent. It's so new.
Yeah.
Which is cool to be on the cutting edge of something. And on the cutting edge of something where there's a right and a wrong answer, especially in a lot of healthcare and health and wellness. Like, there really isn't a single right answer, which is part of what makes managing your own health and helping other people so frustrating.
When I think about data, I think in the world of health, I think of things that Apple are doing, collecting information about our behaviors and using those to interface our daily decisions, our actions, how we relate to people, how we create experiences. It seems like it's such a broad field, but to narrow it to, let's say, the health side of it, do you find that it's still, with that narrowness, it's still massive at the same time?
Definitely. I mean, we're just beginning to understand, one, actually how much data is out there and the usefulness of that data, because you're right, companies like Apple and everyone else have invested a lot of time and money in collecting data. You know, people talk about, like, the data rush, like the gold rush, or the new data being the new oil. But once you have the data, you need to actually figure out how to use it. And figuring out how to use it constructively is actually way harder in some ways than collecting it. Because, again, we're back to, there are no right answers. There's a lot of subjectivity in how you structure that data, how you manipulate that data, how you create models based on that data to get better at predicting what does Julie need to do to have a good night's sleep, or to be at his best energy level, or to optimize his nutrition towards his physical well-being. Like, the way to actually get to those answers is not simple, and it's actually really subjective.
It's funny because when you mentioned about data, I'm just recalling a conversation that I had with a friend at a birthday drinks, who works for a pretty large Canadian cannabis company. And he said that this coming year is going to be about consolidation, because there's just so many cannabis shops, retail shops in, never mind Toronto, but all over Canada. But in doing so, they've been able to, because they are the suppliers to a lot of retail shops, right? They're one of the big ones, without naming names. But they have a lot of data. So as you said, it's like, it was really easy for them to capture the data, but they're like, we're only, you know, cutting through the surface on how to actually use it, interpret it, model it, derive value from it. Like, they're like totally on the surface of that. And for a huge organization that's big, that's in, you know, one of the earliest OGs in the cannabis market, to be like, you know, you're only scratching the surface. Like, what does that tell you? Because they're dealing with a lot of other things too, right? There's a lot of priorities, and it seems as though sometimes data and understanding it, it's kind of like one of those strategy things that you're like, yeah, we'll do it later. Like, we've got immediate things at hand. Like, when you're putting out certain fires, you know, something that's sort of like a sign on the wall while you're putting out fires is going to kind of like not catch your attention. I feel as though a lot of people and companies are undergoing that as a challenge, right? And when do you do that? Like, the strategy session. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's on my list of to-dos. But when the hell am I going to do it? Because I'm still operating and dealing with COVID, dealing with protocols, dealing with new things and all that stuff.
Trying to grow. Exactly. Right? Like this cannabis company is a great example. We're in the business of probably growing, but at the very least distributing and productizing cannabis. That is a totally different business than productizing data.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally one of those things for a lot of companies that unless you have a deliberate focus and you're trying to build products around it, when are you going to make time for that? Mm.
And then bring that onto the human level too, right? That's kind of like a metaphor for like human, us as humans. It's like, you know, you have to do these things, but there are other more immediate things. Like, I want to have a drink. I want to see my friends. I want to eat good food, rather than planning for, I don't know, my next trip somewhere or something, you know? And so futuring versus,
yeah,
being in the now.
Correct.
There's a lot of that. People, I mean, when I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, people forego the base foundational needs like sustenance, security, safety, and they jump right up to actualization. How can we make a huge change in the world and level up to a point where we've enlightened and gone beyond these necessities, or even connecting the dots and being creative with what we produce. Talking about information, it takes us to a point where the sky is the limit, but we have to also have to respect our own limitations and our own pace towards what the sky is. And in recognizing that, it's very much the intuition that I think is really important. We get a lot of data that tracks what we output, but how about all the stuff that happens within us that can't be tracked and can't be taken,
quantified,
right? There's another side of that coin of what is not quantifiable. What are the intangibles, the subjective? I think people are getting it. They're slowly collecting different styles of data, like keyword searches and behaviors that you do that don't relate to numbers, that are not so quantitative based. Even recording what you say and all that stuff, we're getting better at that, but there's still so much on the other side that I would say data has no business being, if that makes sense, on a very holistic level.
Well, I mean, when you talk about no business, I actually want to bring it back to Apple. Because this is one thing that I am almost I feel a little guilty about. As a health innovator and technologist, I have just refused to get on the smart monitoring and smart tech, like the smart health tech bandwagon, like the Fitbit, the Apple Watch, any
personal health data collection.
And it's not even a privacy thing for me. I don't want that data. Like, even if it's just storing on my phone and no one else gets to see it, like, I am not interested in seeing how restless my sleep was. Mm. I would rather wake up and just decide I feel good, I don't feel good, and then deal with it. Like, I have no interest in someone shaming me for only getting 7,000 steps in because it was a busy day at the office. Right. And like, candidly, that's when I can't turn off on my phone. So during COVID early on, I had to really make peace with the fact that I was getting like 100 steps in some days where it was really busy. Like, we were just putting out fires left, right, and center with all the different health stuff I was running. And I was just sitting in my kitchen the entire day. Got 100 steps. Like, I just don't want that information presented to me.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe how it's presented to you is not yet the way that you're either ready for or that you're accepting of. How it's presented to you, what Nathan was talking about, how we do things as opposed to what we do is
another. But how could you get that information presented to you in another way?
I'm like just trying to think of like really new age things that
this is like the world.
No, is it like a pulse?
Science fiction.
Are your legs somehow like, I don't know, like you're in a bodysuit and somehow like if it has senses that you're not at your steps and the day is dwindling, there's gonna be small little shock absorbers or something to go in to like force you to sort of do, I don't know, like, or like because you haven't walked so much, like this bodysuit will somehow help to regulate the flow of your blood to the areas of your body that need that, right? Because you haven't actually physically moved, which is then I'm thinking about, we're all going to become, I think Simpsons or something, where I imagine like there's some show or cartoon where we're all big blubberous creatures of human beings hooked into food and we never really just actual physical couch potatoes. And I think there was a representation of what that future was like. I think it was on The Simpsons that I always just think about.
There's a movie about that.
Or a movie or something, yeah. You know? Like, it's just like we are the worst versions of ourselves, but our brains are plugged into some sort of system, but our bodies are just, you know.
Jabba the Hutt.
Kind of, yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, blobs.
Like blobs.
Well, if I have anything, any hand in that decision, I'm going to do my best to not allow us to become blobs.
I wanted to like to ask you guys, and I, because I saw this quote, it's a principle of the day by Ray Dalio, co-chief investment officer of Bridgewater, one of the biggest hedge funds, I think if not the biggest hedge fund in the world, said, allow time for rest and renovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the subtitle of that was, if you just keep doing, you'll burn out and grind to a halt. Build downtime into your schedule just as you would make time for all the other stuff that needs to get done. Hashtag principle of the day. So I saw that on my LinkedIn, and just given the talk that we were having before recording this, we were talking about like, do you need to schedule in rest and renovation? And what does that tell you about yourself kind of when you have to do that?
Do I schedule in rest?
Like blocks of like, this is when I'm not doing anything.
100%. I think of it with my mind, body, and spirit, soul. My introduction is I'm a holistic fitness coach and social entrepreneur. So I really love to innovate in my own world with regards to my body and how it interacts with my mind. And by batching in rest times, I think of it, resting for the body is one thing. Mm-hmm. Resting with the mind is another thing. Resting the two together is amazing as well. So I like to subdivide them and categorize so that I introduce specific activities that help organize the way my body renovates itself and regenerates. Then I can deduce whether one activity is beneficial or the investment of the time is worth it after a certain amount of logged in days doing it. So I sound as if I'm like tracking all this data in my mind, but I love to be organized about self-care because part of my role is to help coach others and how to do it too. So what I experiment on myself always goes out to other people.
You gotta walk your talk, right?
But also with all the research that's out there too.
Right.
Yeah, it's not just teaching from my subjective experience. It's bringing that to light, highlighting it, giving sort of this like rapport building and connection with others, and then also bringing in some theories, principles to it too. So how does that look in terms of what I do? Well, I dabble in CBD and THC. I enjoy that to really focus, depending on what kind I take. Sometimes it'll just rest my body. A bath, going quote unquote old school with nothing except for a candlelight.
So Epsom salt, just water?
Oh no, Epsom salt, yes.
Okay.
But no activity of the mind other than trying to.
No music, no TV, no, yeah, just talking silence. With like a friend on the phone.
Yep, just silence. Yeah, that. How about you? What do you do quiet time?
For me? Well, so actually, the thing I like about this quote, I actually read it a little bit differently. When we say allow time for rest and renovation, to me, those are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, rest is really about building that self-care routine into your day, into your week. Mm. I'm also a huge fan of baths. For me, though, it's absolutely mood music. Because to me, that signals to my mind that this is where we are. This is what's meant to be going on. Right?
Mm. Mood music, hold up, just as a, are you a Nate? I'm just going to guess. Is he a nature, a white noise kind of guy?
Jazz classical kind of guy?
Or like a crashing waves, Mozart-ish class, you know, like there's like a few things that you can kind of think about. But what, Julian, do you think Morgan?
Maybe pin you down as maybe classical music or some reason.
I'm honored. Definitely not. I enjoy classical music, but that is not what's going on in the bath. We are 100% like jazz, blues, rock.
Okay.
Rock?
Well, like
soft rock.
Jazz rock.
Jazz
like,
rock.
Like okay. The blues vibes, you know?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Got like some old school guitar riffs going on.
Nice.
Some trumpets, some saxophone.
Nice. Sorry, were you gonna? I think
oh, but that's rest.
Yes, and talk about renovation.
And then there's renovation, and to me, that's more of the annual, or even like the couple times in a decade. Mm-hmm. Those pauses in life where you take a step back, you remove yourself from the hustle and bustle of day to day life. Usually, this is almost can be forced on us. That like with any sort of big life transition, you know, when you're between jobs and you take that couple months when you're searching for a new job to be like, wait a second, do I really still want to be working at Bay in Adelaide or whatever that is for you? Mm-hmm. Maybe like you're moving to a new city and you're like, wait a second, like what do I want my life to look like when I'm searching for a new place? Or even like some sort of personal change in personal context, right? Like maybe a new family member moves to town. Mm-hmm. Maybe you break up with a partner. Maybe you and a friend have a falling out. Or maybe you start something new and make a whole bunch of new friends and you get to redefine your identity a little bit. But to me, that only happens when you make that deliberate choice to say like, wait a second, my house is not going to be functional right now. I may not even be able to live my normal life in it. Because I'm going to make a conscious effort to ask, what do I want my house to look like? And then pivot as I need to renovate it, right? Whether we're talking about a house or life. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that is just so important to make sure that you're on track. And that doesn't change when you're 40 or 50. It's just harder to do.
Right. You're more set into your habits kind of thing when you're older.
You have more responsibility. You can't just quit your job and start a new one a couple months later because you have kids and a mortgage.
Right.
Hopefully you're not going to be breaking up with your partner. It's probably harder to move cities. So those forced moments of renovation don't happen nearly as frequently.
It's interesting. I like that. Because for me, my whole move from Hong Kong, right, this is a huge renovation moment.
Yeah.
And
transitional time.
And a big reason is also because I don't have those commitments like Morgan, you just said. Like I don't have kids yet. Mortgage is not something that's like front and center in my mind right now. And my ties to Hong Kong were not so grounded that I couldn't, you know, do what I'm doing now. And so, yes, of course, that has shaken my life for sure. Like they're kind of like speaking to Patty, my wife, she's just, you know, she's undergone a big like change. Right. And, you know, as a partner, to support that, it has its challenges, right? Because it's like, this is my move to my hometown with my parents and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, it's kind of like, we always have to think about, what about her? She's kind of essentially has no one, right? In that sense. And how do you continue to renovate to a state that, is that what you foresee as the future you want together? I mean, to be really honest, it's like, we don't know yet. Like, that's the challenge. It's like, you're renovating a house, a space that you're not even sure if this is what you want ultimately as well too. And nowadays it's like, everyone always asks me, yo, your move back to Toronto, is it permanent, right? Like when I think of renovation, you renovate something that is quite permanent, right?
Yeah, and then
to a certain extent,
you know, eventually you renovate again or you move.
Yeah, you move.
You're also coming at it as a partnership. But how about for yourself?
Right.
Yes. Nathan Ho.
Yeah.
Not just Patty's husband.
Right.
How does this affect and change the way that you think about?
It's like a renovation.
You're in a total renovation stage. You've been immersing in it for a while.
Totally.
I mean, it's,
or depends on what a while is to some people.
Yeah, of course. But I think also in terms of like, yes, you always have yourself and your own identity, but a lot of the times, you know, for someone who's been with a partner, like with my relationship for 11 years, part and parcel of myself is a reflection of who she is as well too, right? Both, like, that's the thing when you're with someone for so long and you've been through so many experiences, like oftentimes there's a blend of like you with them and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, do I completely separate myself as an individual from my relationship? I can try, but also it's like a lot of,
you're now permanently a Venn diagram with her.
Correct. Yeah, it's a great visual to express. And I think some solid relationships are like that, mm-hmm. right? But can I ever really make a decision that 100% my own? Of course I can. If I go into Tim Hortons and I want to get a regular or a dark roast or whatever, I can. If I want to go and put this much money and take this much out of my account, I can, right? But there are a lot of things that just in the back of my mind, oh, maybe I can get her some Timbits as well too. Or maybe I can pull out some extra money because of, I want to buy her a little present or something. Whatever, right? So never fully separated. But the renovation is, I think, part and parcel of the transition that I'm going through. I think when I talk to a lot of friends, maybe in our age, like millennials, I don't know, we're at a really interesting point where there's, I think a lot of people have a career that's been solid for around 10 years. Like we are all at an age where we've been doing something from a career perspective, where we are now managing people. Like we know how to do something and we do it well. But now it's a point where what next? Right? That I think a lot of my friends that I hear, they're kind of like, there's a lot of like up in limbo. It's kind of like this bit of a crisis. Or is this something that's unique to everyone? Is it actually something that, hey, a lot of millennials right now are going through a bit of like a change and
uncertainty. I mean, we're in this world of uncertainty. We only have
a, or is that because I'm speaking on behalf of millennials, right? Because like, would other people be doing that same too? I don't know.
We have a couple of minutes left here. Maybe we can finish off with like this idea, this relationship to uncertainty as a wrap up. Looking back at this year, now that we're coming to the end of 2021, how have you worked with or worked through all of this uncertainty?
One word, accept. Two words, dialectics. So if you can only do one thing, just accept it. The more you fight it, the more it's going to be challenging. Just accept it. If you can do one more thing above that, you can recognize that accepting it doesn't mean you have to like it or even keep it long term. So you can accept that life is crazy and uncertain or just plain shit. You can accept it and make peace with it in the moment while still changing it for the future.
For the time being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Acceptance.
That's great. I love that, Morgan. Nathan, how about you?
More than one word, but I think, or just maybe one word, decisiveness for me. I think it's always hard to be in the gray. It's always hard to be on the fence. It's always hard to be in the middle. When you take a side, whatever that is, it may not be the right one, but at least it's better than being in between both. And when we're faced with so many decisions every day, the longer you delay a decision, whatever, the more it stacks up in your mind, causing you that stress, that anxiety and whatnot. So to me, it's more of like decisiveness to just say, fuck it, I'm going to do this because of these reasons. That's how I justify it. And I'm going with it as opposed to staying with us.
I would say for me, how I work with or cope with uncertainty is step by step, take things one step at a time, just like my running. You only get to the finish line one foot in front of the other over and over and over again, not just this massive jump. And to be able to take it step by step is to slow things down and breathe and be in tune with those simple things like hanging out with friends, spending quality time with people, with yourself, and taking those baths, being out in nature. We know all these things. It's just a matter of reminding ourselves that to be in the present moment will help us create that space so that we can think about those future things that really excite us. So one step at a time, moving into 2022.